ring. I wonder who that could be calling.
Hello.
Insurgent Radio Network calling.
Who is this calling?
Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network calling.
Who am I speaking to? And where are you calling from?
And this is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana.
Where exactly is that located at?
Right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse.
What goes on at that Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern?
Well, we have parties, and we do a lot of dancing, do a lot of singing and dancing and band playing.
Is there anything else around there?
We got the weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard right out back.
How is the weather in North Central Indiana?
Well, the weather continues to be cold, and it's been running about 10 to 15 degrees around here. But I'm all snug as a bug in a rug in my little bunker here.
I heard that there are dues to pay to listen to the Insurgent Radio Network. Where would I send them?
Send your dues money to P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana 46581, or general correspondence to Tommy if you want to write me a letter or something.
Where would I send donations?
Send your donations, your free will donations of thousands of dollars, of course, to that same box.
What if I want to order books or DVDs?
When you want to order books or DVDs or anything tangible like that, you order that from, you know, our resist.com website, but the address for ordering is Insurgent, P.O. Box 230, payment for whatever you're ordering. And that's the way you'll get much faster service than through poor old broken down old Terrible Tommy.
Thank you very much. I will be listening from now on to the Insurgent Radio Network. Have a nice day, Terrible Tommy, and thank you for the call.
I have some questions about food terms. For instance, breadsticks. If drumsticks are for playing drums, you'd think breadsticks would be for playing bread, wouldn't you? Would you like some breadsticks? No, thank you. I don't play bread. I play drums. Perhaps I'll have a drum roll. Shelled peanuts. Well, why don't shelled peanuts have shells? If you're clothed, you have clothes. So if you're shelled, you should have shells. You'd think they'd call peanuts without shells unshelled peanuts, wouldn't you? Same thing goes for pitted prunes and boned chicken. I ask you, where are the bones? I can't find them. In my opinion, it ought to be called deboned chicken. And that brings me to semi-boneless ham. What's going on here? Does it only have half a bone? Or does semi-boneless ham mean that some complete object that is not entirely a bone has been removed from the ham? I don't know. Waffle iron. Why on earth would you want to iron a waffle? Wouldn't that just flatten out all the little square things? No, no, no. I believe waffles should be dry cleaned. Pancakes, of course, should always be ironed.
Boys and girls, that's the intellectual part of the show. It'll all be downhill from there. The patron saint out here in the bunker, George Carlin. Hey, P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana. We already told you that. So most of you have got your donations in for the Radio Show this month. But if you haven't, do it, please. Well, it's January the 15th, 2014. Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. Yeah. I got a big surprise for you this morning. Yes, it's going to really shock you. It's snowing again here in Indiana. The old snow hasn't all the way gotten melted away, and now we got a new snow coming. I was going to go out and get me a little snow parking lot snow getter ridder of machine, but I was trying to save money. Anyhow, my neighbor comes over here with his big Caterpillar deal and rakes it off if it gets too deep. But I did have one of those little push-around deals, and I got a hair in my butt, and I got rid of it. And I think I even gave it away. What a stupid deal that was. So, but I still don't want to go out and buy another one. I don't know. We'll see how much snow is yet to come this year. I've got the garden tractor, and I could put a blade on it, but they tell me unless you put chains on your garden tractor and like that, it's not that effective, especially if there's very much snow around. So I don't think I'm going to go to all that trouble. You know, the stupidest guy over across the pond this week, this day, is the Prime Minister of England, who came out on the news this morning on the British bullshit company and said, my fellow Englanders. Sounds like a German to me. No, he said, hey, you Brits, we're falling behind. Europe and Britain is falling behind the Chinese and the Koreans and those people in economy. And we got to do something about it, man. So what we're going to do is import more ragheads. We need a lot more ragheads, Islamics in here, to take care of this stuff. What he really means is you dumb bastards are going to have to work for less and less and less per hour because it's your fault that the world's in a horrible shape. It's your fault that you've got no jobs. It's your fault that all the money in Britain's in a bank in London called City of London. That's all your fault. Yeah, everything's your fault. So just work for a hell of a lot less money, and then we can be competitive with the chinks. Yeah, what a brilliant man. What a brilliant man. Well, I see that the dictatorship government over there in Greece keeps picking up duly elected Golden Dawn legislators. Isn't that something? They picked up three more this week. Now, Golden Dawn better get their ass in gear and understand that if they're going to last, they're going to have half or two-thirds of their people underground, covert, and ready for whatever they have to do. And the Velvet Fist, or the Iron Fist and the Velvet Glove, they're going to keep picking you off as long as you don't let the central government over there that's run by the ruling class and the Jews and the EU people, as long as they know you have no physical power and you're no danger to them, except maybe beating up on some musician on the street. As long as they think that, well, they're going to pick you off right now until there's none left. And the only way to deal with these people is to fight back. I mean, fight, not talk. And come out strong supporting the working class. Take the ball away from the so-called left over there, because it's really your ball. You should be balls of the wall for the we're the working class in Greece. And then send them a good message, one they can't refuse. And they'll start laying off of you. Unless you do, they'll just pick you off one at a time, or two at a time, or three at a time, until there's nobody left. That's my $1,000 advice to the Golden Dawn. Of course, you should have thought about this before you even got started. You first build the base of the pyramid, then you work on the peak of the pyramid. Yeah. You create yourself an iceberg with the big bottom first, and then the last thing you want to do is put the little thing on top. In other words, you want to be like a submarine and cruise at periscope depth with most of your power and strength under the water, and just have your periscope up there to keep an eye on things and see how it's going. Yeah, it's very simple. I think all that running for office stuff is just getting the cart before the horse. That once you put yourself up for election, like I did, I know all about this. I've done it several times. Then you become a super target, and you're much easier to knock off. I didn't have any underground army supporting me, and look what they did to me when I ran for Congress. You know? And this is your word for today. A rising tide, a rising economy lifts all yachts. You got it? Yeah.
Now that you're going out into the world, there's something you should know. You see that?
Yeah.
That's shit. And this is Shinola.
Shit. Shinola.
Son, you're going to be all right. And what town are you going to try for first?
Well, I thought I'd try to go to St. Louis because that's where that radio show was coming from.
And remember, the Lord loves a working man.
Lord loves a working man.
And son, don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Don't trust Whitey. Lord loves a working man. Don't trust Whitey.
That is true, man. We have to spread the word. And we have to spread the word. I like to put this number on Facebook. I don't know if that's a good idea. Help me mail me if I do. All right, you guys. Well done. That is
just a thought. Just a thought. The Catholic Church, the name of it means universal church. So it's supposed to be the main church. It's international and is the predominant church or controlling church of the, as much as it can be in the Western world. Now, why, if they were international like the Masons, Freemasons, how come they weren't able to stop the fratricidal wars between the white nations? The story of the Masons that they, guys captured in an army by another army as prisoners of war, found out to be Masons from the enemy side would help them out, see that they get better treatment and better quarters. But the church did nothing to stop the white nations, to try to stop them from destroying each other. I believe Ben Klassen when he says that the papacy, the Vatican, is controlled by international world finance jewelry. Okay, Tom. Good show.
Well, you have to look at the history of the Catholic Church. I mean, the millions and millions of people that were killed by the church and all the fratricidal wars between then not only the Catholic Church, but the Protestants and the Lutherans and all that. And everybody running around, leaving Europe, coming over here to spread the stuff over here. So I think what you'll find is that the Catholic Church, especially during medieval times, was operating more as a pagan operation. It's a pagan thing now, but now at least they try to give some lip service to this peace thing with the baby Jesus. But it's a screwed up deal. All those kind of deals are so screwed up. There's obviously Catholics who tried to create peace, bring peace. Obviously, you can't deny it. But in general, the Catholic Church has done not only very little to bring peace, but in most cases they brought war, especially if they're going to go down and kill all the Muslims for Jesus. I mean, come on. That's why religion is the basis for 2/3 of the problems in the world as far as warfare and strife and people killing people. It's not race. A true racist simply wants to be separate. Just, okay, go on down the road and do what you want to do. Leave me alone. And, of course, there are some people who will never leave you alone. But I'm saying that separation, and separation is peaceful. Separation is good. forced religion and forced integration brings hate, tremendous hate. But when you say, well, you won't have all this hate if you just leave people alone, let them separate into their racial units, into their tribal units, or even into the religious units. Leave other people alone. Isn't that easy? It seems to be pretty hard.
Absolutely right, but it's greed. Greed is what you're talking about in your last few comments. And the big problem we've got also is gullibility. That's huge. But I've been pushing lately, and it's true, our creative empathy ability is the one that really kills us, because a kaiju knows how to manipulate that. Tom, 14:14. I'm pushing the second 14 now. So that the beauty of the white Aryan woman does not perish from Earth.
Well, we got to get some guests in here, and I'm going to start today. I'm looking for a guy to show up here. He's having a hitchhike up here from from Georgia, and he's one of those damn progressives. Don't tell any of the right wingers I'm putting him on, because that'll piss them off. He had to sort of sneak in here today. He just walked in, and he had a little trouble getting up here because the teabaggers got a got a price on his head, man. Yeah, I hear those Koch brothers have got about a $500,000 hit on him, you know. Plus, he's got to watch out for the right wing because, you know, he's not a good racist, but there's some other stuff he says that we think's important. So we're going to put him on the show here. So he's all red in the face. He's pissed off. Man, I'm telling you, he's ready to explode. So let's listen to what he's got to say.
British Petroleum, BP, is now claiming fraud and wants to stop the payments that it agreed to pay a couple of years ago, remember? As a result of that 2010 destruction of the Gulf of Mexico. The way the Miami Herald reports it, the Deepwater Horizon settlement agreement is in turmoil, with BP attempting to stop the payments and saying the money shouldn't have gone to certain people who are demanding payment and that haven't proved this monster 2010 oil spill in the Gulf cost them business. BP is waging an aggressive campaign in the courts and news media against the settlement it signed 2 years ago. The company agreed to the settlement under pressure as claims mounted from the oil rig explosion that killed 11 workers and led to the biggest environmental disaster in U.S. history and did major economic damage to businesses in the region. Now, here's the thing. Just listen to this for a second. When it signed the settlement, BP expected a total cost of about $7.8 billion, which would have been, what, about 3 months' profit for these rat bastards? You know, that's it hasn't turned out that way. It became clear that the payouts would continue. And now BP, and I especially like their big ads, these ads they've been running, full-page ads in the New York Times, whining and bitching like, I don't know, like some little punk on a schoolyard, some bully punk who's been chopped in the solar plexus, and now the bully is screaming, oh, you can't hit back. BP is in court arguing that the claims administrator and the judge overseeing the settlements are misinterpreting the terms of the deal that BP agreed to. BP is trying to convince the federal appeals court to block payments to companies that can't prove the spill caused their losses. Now, hold on just a second. The class action settlement that BP reached with private plaintiff lawyers a couple of years ago never said that companies had to prove the spill directly caused their losses. That's because the only way to prove such a thing is through a trial. And going through trials in tens of thousands of cases would have been long and expensive. Instead, BP and the plaintiffs agreed to a formula where if a business met the criteria, its loss was presumed to be a result of the 2010 spill. The formula that BP agreed to takes into account the business's distance from the Gulf, and it compares revenue for certain months before and after the spill. Businesses in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and some counties on the west coast of Florida and in southeastern Texas are eligible to apply under the formula. And now BP is saying, we've been ordered to pay hundreds of millions of dollars. It's likely to be in the billions of fictitious or inflated losses. Oh! Well, to BP, let me hear. This is from a 25-cent radio host in the foothills of North Georgia Mountains that doesn't exist in your universe or most universes. But let me tell you something, BP. Yeah, you're probably going to get hit with a couple of fraudulent claims. You know what? Nobody gives a goddamn. Do you realize what you did to this country? Do you realize what you did to the Gulf of Mexico? Do you realize what you did to countless businesses, little people, people that don't matter worth a goddamn, how you destroyed their businesses forever? You don't care. So if you get reamed a couple of times, tough. Suck it up. You destroyed a huge section of the United States. And now you're going to whine and bellyache and stick your thumb in your mouth and twist your hair and say, somebody help me. They're filing fraudulent claims against me. Well, isn't that a pity? Isn't that too goddamn bad, BP? Isn't that a shame? Better idea. Why did you do it in the first place? They're trying to make me pay for an escort service. They're trying to make me pay for a global nuclear consultant. You signed an agreement, you swine. You filthy, stinking executives of BP. You signed an agreement that said no proof was necessary. And now you're taking out. I'll tell you what. You know those full-page ads that you're putting in the New York Times? What are they costing you? $500,000 per? Filthy, stinking, degenerate, capitalist destroyers. Somebody may get $50,000 from us and they don't deserve it. Really? Suck it up, big boys. If this thing winds up costing you $100 billion, what is that?
Now watch out, Mr. Progressive. God damn, you're getting excited. You're going to have a heart attack here, man. And you got a long way to go back home. So just kind of calm down a little bit and let's get back to it, okay?
Really? Suck it up, big boys. If this thing winds up costing you $100 billion, what is that? 3/4 of profit? Oh, poor babies. I wish you would put your ass out of business. So there you have it. Just a whole series of these stories from what... Liberty, what's it called? Well, the Freedom Industries in West Virginia. To these oil companies in North Dakota, to the transport companies in Canada, to this behemoth bastard BP in the Gulf of Mexico. It just goes on and on. Lawsuits, people having their well water destroyed in Pennsylvania. How much more of this are we going to take? Coal companies blowing the tops off of mountains, destroying everything.
Jesus, calm down, Malloy. It'll soon be over. I just get so angry.
Well, there he goes, Mr. Progressive, walking on back home. I'll tell you, told me he got shot at a couple of times. A couple of Christian Zionists and a couple of damn teabaggers tried to grab him down south of town here. Luckily, some of my boys came along and ran him off, man, I'll tell you. But he's going to have to worry about a cardiac arrest. He gets so excited over these BP oil spills and all this kind of stuff. Wow. Now, don't tell any fucking right-wingers you heard this progressive guy on my show, because they just they might put out a hit on me. They've tried it before. Well, Lone Wolf Las Vegas has checked in. Big-ass gorilla-looking nigger has carjacked, took a white woman away, had a baby in the car. Sparks police have heard from the people they were looking for while investigating reports of a woman being abducted from a grocery store parking lot. And that's a very dangerous place for women, is shopping centers and grocery store parking lot. That is an excellent place for the predator niggers and mestizos and even degenerate white men to grab a hold of you. I've told white women over and over again, don't let them get within, you know, 10 feet or so, maybe more. Get in your car, lock the door, and put the windows up. And when they smile and try to be real nice and all that kind of shit, that's their opening. And once they get a hold of you, grab you physically and throw you into a van, you're done. That's it. Lights out. And also carry that little can of Easy Off or pepper spray, and any move towards you in a threatening manner, wash their face with pepper spray or Easy Off or something like that. And when you hesitate and that I feel sorry for the nigger thing is there, you're going to pay for it with your life. Officers were called to Scolari's on Disc Drive just before 4 p.m., Monday, witnesses say they saw a large black male. Yeah, he's got this picture of him. He looks like a goddamn gorilla. Forcing a white female into a dark Lexus sedan bearing Nevada license plates. 168, V as in Victor, X as in X-ray, Z as in Zebra. The vehicle is registered to Leroy Leron Coleman. Multiple witnesses reported that this Negroid then drove the vehicle northbound on Vista Boulevard, and a child could be observed in the rear seat of the vehicle as it left. Unfortunately, this gal, just like the wildebeest on the trail in Africa, got too close to the pond where the crocodiles were, and this crocodile grabbed her. Now the crocodile's got not only her, but her kid. And if he doesn't kill both of them, I'd be surprised. After local media reports of police asking for help in the search for the Lexus, Coleman and his associate, Tamika Solis, a.k.a. Chantel Holly, Coleman and Solis contacted Sparks Police. Both say they were involved in the incident at Scolari's and have agreed to speak with officers regarding what happened. Both state they are fine. That's an interesting story. Hell, maybe this white woman was a girlfriend of this ape. Who knows nowadays? I may have covered this yesterday, I'm not sure, but an Ohio teacher, who's probably white, is fighting to keep his job after allegedly telling a black student, quote, "We do not need another black president." Well, I wonder if he'd have said, "We do not need another white president," whether he'd have problems. Gil Voigt was suspended without pay by Butler County yellowback sons of bitch and school officials after being accused of making the comment to a student at Fairfield Freshman School. The suspension is the first step in firing Voight. You know, these people on school boards and these petty little jobs for the city and all that kind of county commissioners, all that, they're such a goddamn bunch of cowardly sheep. When you know what most of them say behind closed doors when they get home, there's nothing piss. You know, a black separatist or a black nationalist doesn't piss me off one-tenth what a white goddamn sheep does. And you're surrounded by them. And to save their ass or get more money or whatever it is, they'll turn on you and destroy you on this very easily. But Voight, a graduate of Ohio University, has denied making the remark, instead claiming to school officials that he said, quote, "I think we can't afford another president like Obama, whether he's black or white," unquote. Well, that's just as bad, Mr. Voight. These people don't care. Anything like that is racism against the niggers. He claims that his accuser was troublesome in class. Well, what nigger isn't? And not a very good student. Though the Fairfield assistant superintendent who conducted the initial investigation said that other nearby students heard the remark and corroborated the accuser's story. Well, they were probably all black, too. But you see how it is? One black student or black person any place can make an accusation, and as long as they stick to the accusation and there may not even be witnesses, they're going to hang your ass. Because, oh my God, if we don't hammer this teacher, if we don't get rid of this teacher, the Negroes are going to be unhappy with us. And even worse, the kike Jews are going to be pissed off. And the Jew-thinking whites. Yeah, the sheeple. In a statement to school officials, Voight requested a hearing. Oh, shock, surprise. And wrote that his comment was not meant to be taken as racially charged remark. No, it's just a more remark. He could have said, we don't need another white president. We don't need another yellow president. We don't need another woman president. Or we don't need a woman president. Whatever. That's opinion. There was no way I was trying to indicate the color of Obama's skin and had anything to do with his politics, Voight wrote. You see, this is all they overreacted this to drive the general population down to where they're afraid to say anything, to where white people who are cowardly anyhow are not going to say anything. So you're behind the Iron Curtain. You're behind the kosher curtain, boys. And the few people who do stand up and say what needs to be said, man, I'll tell you, they get you in a courtroom, they're going to give you 99 years in an electric chair. A mediator from another county will hear from both sides. Oh, yeah, he's not going to be biased before making a non-binding recommendation for the Fairfield Board of Education. Quote, unless there's some sort of agreement reached, I wouldn't expect this to be over before the end of the school year, said John Clemens, the attorney for the school district. Yeah, they'll hang his ass. Well, get out of teaching, Gil. Get into another line of work. Fuck 'em. Let the niggers take over the schools until the point where the whites have to be forced to the wall so bad there's nothing else to lose. In fact, actually, this works out good because there's always a percentage of white people out there that aren't sheep, but they're not doing a lot either. And they can be driven to the wall and come out fighting. And so this kind of persecution, it's absorbed into the subconscious of the people. Well, I posted a comment to that article about that Ohio teacher, and I said, when are all you cowardly sheep whites going to tell these anti-free speech Soviet-style commissars to go pound sand? Well, it says here, your comment is awaiting moderation. I doubt whether it appears. I don't know whether you watch it, but there's these Diversity Incorporated outfit that's run by, an Italian or something. But anyhow, doesn't make any difference. And they're pushing all the corporations to have diversity officers and everything, and to be pushing this all the time, including giving grants out to people who go along with it. Well, don't say diversity. It's race mixing. Yeah, what do race mixing incorporated top 50 companies do that makes them top 50 race mixing companies? That's what it is. Let's call a spade a spade. Here's another one of those situations. Candia and Sam Aaron's Negroes are irate over discovering a racial slur written on their valet ticket after picking up their car in an Atlanta suburb. Sounds like they got some money if they can afford a valet. Candia, who is black, and Sam, a white military vet who recently returned from Kuwait, he should have stayed there, had stopped at a New Year's Day dinner at Spondivitz Restaurant in East Point, Georgia. When they picked up their car, a tag was still attached to the keys that read, Jungle Fever, a slur for an interracial mixed couple. Quote, I've never had the valet tag left on the key, Candia Aaron said. He wants us to see it. The couple did and immediately contacted Spondivitz, an APS valet, the company contracted by the restaurant, to park the cars of race mixers. We had no idea that the valet was looking at us or thinking of us in such a manner, unquote, she said. Rather than getting a normal apology, however, the couple was only offered a gift certificate for dinner. I wouldn't have given you that, which they turned down. We have never been so blatantly described in such a blatantly appalling manner ever, Candia Aaron said. I shouldn't have to feel this way. I don't hear this white veteran saying a goddamn thing. What a pussy he is. Well, oh, that's too bad. Somebody said something you don't like. They said Jungle Fever. Well, that was the movie that was talking about race mixing. What's his name, that little nigger that made that movie? I can't remember it right now, but what's your problem, Candia? Oh, I see. You went right out and got yourself a little Jew attorney, man. He's going to go after him big time. You'll end up owning a whole restaurant. Then you can have your white squaw working in the kitchen.
Says they are in shock. They say they were targets of racism at a popular local restaurant. Channel 2's investigative reporter Aaron Diamond is live in East Point with the ugly message they got. Aaron.
Yeah, Jovita, this is one of those stories that just leaves you shaking your head. A U.S. Army Sergeant Major and his wife drove all the way up here to East Point to eat at Spondivitz New Year's Day. They came from Columbus, Georgia, but what they found on their keyring when they got home left them deeply hurt.
A New Year's Day visit to the well-known Spondivitz restaurant in East Point quickly turned sour for one South Georgia couple.
Because I feel so uncomfortable now. I feel really, really uncomfortable.
Candia Aarons made the trip up for lunch with her husband, Sam, a U.S. Army Sergeant Major just back from a deployment in Kuwait. When they got home, they noticed this tag left by a man who they say valet parked their car with a derogatory slur used to describe interracial couples.
It was put on there in such a way that the comment faced us. It faced us, you know, and it said, Jungle Fever. I'm appalled.
Sam Aaron says he never saw it coming.
I was going to do it for my wife. I was very, very pleased with the service.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left.
We wanted an explanation, but Spondivitz leaders refused our request for an on-camera interview. But the restaurant's chef told us the valet worked for a contractor, APS Valet. In a statement, Chef Glenn Gagne told us Spondivitz does not tolerate racial speech of any kind. Later, APS Valet's owner told us by phone the valet in question is no longer working with APS. APS does not tolerate racism of any kind whatsoever. But Candia Aaron says the whole thing left her and her husband deeply hurt, and the fact the valet got fired is little consolation.
You to take the time to make a hole in the card and put it on our keychain to ensure that we see it really.
Now, neither Spondivitz nor APS Valet would identify the name of the fired worker, but the Aarons say he was African American. We're live in East Point tonight. Aaron Diamond, Channel 2 Action News.
Well, did you get that? It was a black valet Well, I give him all kinds of credit as a proud black man for not liking to see black women in the arms of white men. I agree 100%, and I promote him as the Aryan supporter of the day. And I hope he gets another good job. And I wish everybody that understands race would do that, whether they're black or white. Righto. You notice how they waited to the very end to say just lightly that guy was a, that valet, he was a black man. And as far as the restaurant, the manager said, I have no comment. He should have. But what he said meant no white people should ever go there again. Or proud black separatists shouldn't go there either. Maybe some industrious lone wolf ought to go out in front of that place with one of these small video receivers and put on some of that Jungle Fever from Spike Lee's movie and stand out there. Hey, you know, Jungle Fever, watch it right here. Stand there for about a week and really fuck up that restaurant. Well, I see by the newspapers that Mexican self-defense consuls are coming to the fore in Mexico. In other words, militias of the people to stand up against the cartels. That's interesting. Federal forces and heavily armed vigilantes are warily watching each other in a violence-racked farming area of western Mexico after one deadly clash and a failure by leaders from both sides to work out a deal on disarming. So why are the cops standing off against the militia people? Oh, you guessed why. The federal police are infiltrated with all kinds of cartel people. Officials from the federal and Oaxacan state governments until late Tuesday with leaders of self-defense groups that have increasingly been confronting a drug cartel, but it adjourned with no agreements. Still, while refusing to give up their weapons, vigilante leaders appear to be seeking a cooling of tensions. Well, you don't want cooling of tensions. You want to wipe out those cartels. Kill them all. We have to be discreet with our weapons and not move up and down the highways with them. Hapolito Mora, a lime grower who leads the self-defense group in the town of La Runa, said after the meeting. Interior Secretary Miguel Angel Acero Chong, is he an Asian, confirmed the talks had taken place and said the government has offered jobs as police to qualified members of the self-defense forces. I don't think so. They want to hire you to get you off the back of the cartels where they can control you as police officers. If you get out of line, they put a bullet in your head. The spokesman for the Vigilant Committee, or movement, Estelancio Beltran, previously said that vigilantes weren't interested in such offers. That's good. We don't want jobs as cops. We're fighting for the freedom of our families, he said. The talks came from soldiers clashed when soldiers clashed with townspeople in Antunez, where at least two men were reportedly killed during the confrontation that began late Monday. Video of the clash aired by Milenio Television showed a chaotic scene in which angry townspeople scuffled with soldiers and apparently tried to grab the gun and equipment of at least one soldier. In other words, the soldiers are defending the cartels. You know that. I know that. The government in Mexico City is paid off to protect the cartels. So the people have to rise up and do it like Viva Zapata. Well, I see that Jimmy LaSalvia, the founder of the conservative homosexual advocacy group, Geo Proud, has officially announced his departure from the Republican Party. Quote, today I joined the ranks of unaffiliated voters. I am every bit as conservative as I always have been, but I just can't bring myself to carry the Republican label any longer, LaSalvia wrote. Quote, "You see, I just don't agree with the big government conservatives who run the party now." Well, what's that got to do with being a homosexual? He also cited the GOP tolerance of bigotry, you know, that's the Italian redwood, as a reason for his departure. Well, explain bigotry for me, will you? You mean racism or people that don't necessarily agree with homosexuals and do not wish to practice it or maybe even be around it? That's just simply freedom of choice. The current leadership lacks the courage to stand up to it, he lamented. No, they don't have the courage to expand it. Especially racism, racial separatism. La Salvia remarked upon his successful efforts to create an atmosphere on the right where conservatives can openly support homosexual Americans and even support same-sex marriage. Well, they can do that. There's no hooks in their ass. But noted there is more work to do to root out the anti-homosexual and other forms of bigotry in the party. These are the people that say, if you criticize a homosexual, then you're a horrible, bigoted person. If you say, I don't necessarily want to congregate with homosexuals, you're a very bad man. We got to stomp all that out. Huh. And so he officially changed his voter registration to No Party, which was also the blog post title. Quote, "I feel a huge sense of freedom," he concluded. "I am an independent conservative that sounds much better than homosexual Republican." Well, there you go. He's walking out, Jimmy LaSalvia. The Republican Party is going to collapse, I guess. But the Republican Party are a bunch of hypocrites. You know, there's plenty of racists in there, but they're cowardly sheep. Yeah, I noticed in the Tea Party, because I went down and checked them out. No. If you said anything racist at a Tea Party meeting, they'd run you off, even though a good share of them are at least subconsciously, if not consciously, racist. It's such a bunch of bullshit. Well, we'll close out the show today with a little more reading from Siege by James Mason. But first, let me quote my friend, deceased, martyred, Joe Tomasi, who operated more or less a lone wolf operation outside the uniform, flag-waving, street-strutting Hollywood Nazi movement. And, of course, he was assassinated by one of these people that believed that you got to be a Hollywood Nazi and march around in uniforms and all that stuff. Quote from Joe Tomasi, "We do not wish for law and order, for law and order means the continued existence of this rotten, rip-off capitalist Jew system. We wish for anarchy and chaos, which will enable us to attack the system while her big brother pigs are trying to keep the pieces from falling apart. We wish for a situation so confused and mixed up that we can go after those bastards responsible for the anti-white policies and attacks against our people, which now exist. Such chaos would allow us to intensify our assaults, that we would very well plunge the entire system to its death." Signed, Joe Tomasi. And now back to James Mason. "Loyalty only to ourselves. There's nothing outside the revolutionary race separation struggle to which we owe any loyalty. What we do because it's right and proper and a manly course of action to take. We are in defense of nothing. We are everywhere on the attack, or should be. When we cease attacking, it will only be because the system has fallen and all its former members have been killed. At that point, we will be the state, and the time will be for building. No individual, no manifesto, no abstract concept of any kind can we allow to influence our thinking or our actions. We find ourselves in the midst of a monster, and circumstances dictate to us that our every move must be calculated toward killing the beast. No frills, no fanfare, no frivolities, only practicalities, realities, and necessities. Mere fanaticism alone is not the ultimate indicator of a revolutionary movement whose time, it can be justifiably said, has come. All this must be in answer to the commands of the genes of our blood. This immediately rules out all the Jim Jones or the Hare Krishnas, all the Moonies, and at the same time it rules out all the Reds and the off-brand socialists. We now state that only the affirmative answer to the call of blood decides which movement shall be the redeemers of the entire race of people. For that reason, it could not have happened nowhere else but among the most hardcore of National Socialists and other racial separatists. Consequently, we can trash can any fantasies about the course of events in this country following the course they did in Germany. Hitler could justifiably conjure up slogans of duty to Germany because the Germany he spoke of was still intact and the people were with him. The United States is gone, and that statement is itself means that people inhabiting this piece of real estate are the very goyim that the Jews claim they are. And a goy can never be a National Socialist or a good white separatist. To us, they are merely unconscious, unwitting, and unwilling carriers of the genes that can, under the proper care and leadership, re-achieve greatness and pull this planet out of the quicksand. So much for loyalty to them. It has got to be loyalty only to ourselves, or else the rest may be well never have existed in the first place. The racial struggle is the name under which those who are answering the call of their blood are going, so in only manner in which victory has ever been achieved. Armed struggle. That is, he who we are, why we are, and where we came from. The decade of the 80s, now fully upon us, moving through the 90s and into the next century. The decade of George Orwell's 1984 is on us, with the liberal element now having accomplished its work with the enthronement of a conservative regime to usher in literally 1984. It is well for us to keep all this in mind. Now, this was written in 1981, thus speaketh James Mason. And that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. And I stumbled into the Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern last night and sang me a little karaoke song. I put it on tape. I'm going to play it back for you as we go off the air here. So I'm warning you, if you don't like my music, flip the switch early. Okay, 14-5.
just can't grow old. I've got a one-track mind, so I've been told. But I'm fancy free, I don't worry no how, and I'm walking the dark. All the law will allow, but an easy life I never knew. I can't believe it's really true. When I'm a carefree lad that's seen the light, I'm a walking the dog.